T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wake up!
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
He's a constant learner. He loves the growth mindset and embraces that. Has a whole heck of a lot of respect for people who have been around the game. Very little ego. So, you know, I know in my own career, and I'm sure in your careers, if you're able to sit next to someone that's been there and done that before, there's a lot of value in that, in particular when they've had success like Derek has.
Just help him, like, just understanding of the plays, the throws, the offenses, different defenses as we go through this thing together. You know, he's going to see some weird things, and, you know, hopefully we're prepared for it. But that's what I really enjoy, like I said, the game planning part of it, you know, and helping him see things when we get out on the field, and him executing it on Sunday is something I really enjoy.
He becomes his Josh McCown. Josh was comfortable enough to at least put his ego aside and have Sam Darnold go. And again, I still think that Sam Darnold's out there too early. But again, he's got a couple wins and all that stuff, and Josh Rosen's out to a decent idea. But everybody agreed, of the 5 quarterbacks in the first round, Josh Allen might have been the least prepared to make that move into a starting role.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
John Clayton, some of his comments yesterday would show up in the Bulldog. So let's talk a little bit about Derek Anderson. And is he going to play here?
Right.
And what the Bills are doing about Josh Allen. There's a lot in my head today.
Yeah, there's a lot in my head. I had a dream that was a confluence of things that drive me crazy. Very quickly, So I had a dream I was watching a football game, and I needed Marshawn Lynch to get a touchdown from the one. And he was on my fantasy team, and I needed him to score from the one to get it.
Okay, you weren't wearing a shirt that said Seattle Seahawks with
a
headset on.
No, that's what I'm saying. It combined my fantasy football anxiety with my, I can't believe they didn't run it at the one. Guess what they did?
They passed.
They ran it.
Oh, no kidding.
But he got stuffed.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, but they ran it with somebody else who wasn't on your fantasy team.
Right. And I woke up.
Stuffed. From, so Pete Carroll was right.
I woke up from the dream and I checked my fantasy score. And it wasn't until I was looking at the website realizing, no, that was a dream. I was looking to see if I lost because he didn't get into the end zone.
Maybe Pete Carroll had a dream the week of the Super Bowl, and that scenario unfolded, and he ran Lynch, and he got stuffed. He just didn't want to tell anybody. That's why we passed it the one.
Maybe he got stuffed. Maybe he fumbled. Maybe he could see the future, and he can't say, guys, I saw the future.
But he's not allowed to tell people he could see the future.
Because then people would say, you're even crazier.
Yeah, or they'd ask you for stock tips.
Yeah, so this is my life now. I'm dreaming about fantasy football, and I blame the Guillotine League. And I'm dreaming about Marshawn Lynch scoring touchdowns because he's fun and good.
If he could see the future, I'd ask Pete Carroll how Josh Allen's going to turn out.
Hmm.
Do I want to know? Huh. If I could see the future, would I want to know how Josh Allen is going to turn out? Maybe not. Maybe it's best just to live this week by week.
Sure you would, because then you would say it all the time.
Well, then I'd be watching quarterbacks on Saturday if I had to.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, and
here are some of the questions I have. Go ahead.
Okay, people got mad for a couple reasons.
Oh, geez.
Well, right. People got mad at me because there was a misunderstanding on one level, and that is that I absolutely believe the Bills would put Derek Anderson in the game.
Yes, and that's why I want to bring up this question.
I absolutely believe that he could and very well might, would, whatever. I'll put any qualifier I want into it. I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if Derek Anderson starts a game for the Bills.
Yeah.
And people that were mad about that thought that I meant that's a good idea. I'm not telling you it's a good idea. I'm telling you I think they already have their eyes on it. And Allen's got to play his way. Allen's got to play well enough to keep Anderson off the field. Before, he didn't have to keep anybody off the field because Peterman is such a disaster.
Yeah.
But Allen has to keep Derek Anderson off the field, and you might not like it, but how could you deny it that they are closer to pulling him off the field than they were 2 days ago?
Like, okay, boy, how do I? I got 18 million things in my head. I don't know how I'm going to try and organize them. But can I just throw phrases out at you and you organize all this?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I think they didn't want to play Josh Allen in week 2. Okay?
I agree.
But they got to the point where they realized, this is to your Derek Anderson point, we don't want Josh Allen to be out there. Oh, Peterman. Woof. Okay, we got no choice. We have nobody else on the roster. Let's play Allen. Hey, you know, L.A., okay. Minnesota, hey. I mean, where is it? Green Bay, oh, my God. Where's someone get Derek Anderson's number out of the Rolodex? Okay, so I think that's what led to Derek Anderson. To your point about whether he would play, yes, I think he would actually play because I believe the Bills didn't want Josh Allen out there this early anyway.
Right.
So why would he play? Among the reasons could be Sean McDermott thinking, hey, you know, we are trying to win football games and, you know, whatever the record is. But I think in large part because the kid wasn't supposed to be out there anyway. Now, he can't play right away. He's got to learn the playbook. And Nathan Peterman's Allen's not losing the job to Nathan Peterman because Nathan Peterman probably shouldn't be in the National Football League. He's just not good at playing in regular season football games. So that's why Derek Anderson could play. Okay, I think that all made sense. Other thoughts in my head. I want Josh Allen to play. I do firmly believe that it's more important for him to be on the field. I think on-field reps, even if you're having struggles as he had against Green Bay, are still more effective for the most part than mental reps. Being on the sideline and watching someone else play against the Packers and say, hey, what'd you see against that blitz? Why'd you make that decision? I would like him to play. Here's the third part of what I'm throwing at you with all this stuff that's going through my head. If the Bills' offensive philosophy is going to be, let's run the ball to protect the quarterback, is it still worthwhile to have Josh Allen out there every week if their offensive philosophy is designed to have him not throw the ball that much? Is that still a learning experience if it's, we're going to run the ball, you're not throwing downfield, you're going to throw 15, 20 times a game, excuse me, a Tyrod Taylor game plan. If that's the philosophy, run the ball, strong defense, very few passes from the quarterback. If we need a game-winning drive, okay, you'll throw a couple times, but we're still mostly going to run the football. Is it still worth it to have Josh Allen out there week by week by week?
Well, Allen said the answer is no. It's not really a good way to learn.
So that's why I'm conflicted in my head.
Even if Allen wants to, sure, it can be a good way. Allen said yesterday, I don't care if we run it 50 times or pass it 50 times. I'm telling you right now, if he runs it 50 times,
I care.
Then you're not developing
right,
a quarterback.
That's, and that's why this whole Derek Anderson thing, and really it's because of what happened Sunday. And now here's another thought that's going through my head. I'm sorry, I told you I'm not really organized, but I have everything kind of, it's like meteors flying through my brain and, you know, bouncing off stuff. Here's another thought. What is 2018 all about? For me, it's about Josh Allen developing. What is 2018 all about for Sean McDermott? Is it about sneaking out as many wins as possible? Is it about developing the quarterback? Can you do the two at the same time? Can you make 2018 about Josh Allen developing and also about wins? I don't think you can.
No,
because inevitably there will be losses due to the fact that you are playing an inexperienced rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He will lose some games probably if you keep playing him because of his mistakes. And that gets to the whole point of the Bills changing their offensive philosophy to, Josh, you don't have to win games for us right now, but we don't want you to lose games for us right now.
I don't know how much of a change that is, though.
Well, that's what they used to do under the previous quarterback.
Right. So. They coach like they used to coach like they were afraid of their quarterback.
Right. And I don't want that anymore.
And Sunday's game against the Titans was similar. It's conservative. You know, the two passes he threw on that final drive were screen passes and passes into the flat, which it's fine.
Yep.
You do what the defense gives you, you got it done. But, you know, McDermott in this spot, he's the guy that pulled Tyrod Taylor for Nathan Peterman. Why did he do that? Because he thought it gave his team a better chance to win. He put in a completely unproven quarterback because he thought it gave him a better chance to win. He was way wrong on that, obviously. So now the Bills have a proven guy that they know a little bit better. I mean, proven simply in that you know what he can do. You know that Derek Anderson is probably better than Nathan Peterman.
Yes.
Right. So they have a guy that they can lean on if they really need to. And McDermott, he didn't care about Tyrod. Why is he going to care about Allen? I mean, it's his guy. And if there's one thing that McDermott trusts, it's the process. So all you have to do is if you feel like...
What is the process? What is the process?
There isn't one.
What trust the process. Was the process playing Josh Allen week two? Was the process not playing Josh Allen week two? Was the process... We had to play him in week two, but it was a bad idea, so now we got to get another guy in so we don't play Josh Allen and he goes back to the bench the rest of the season. What is the process?
Well, my point is that they believe that growth and reps and commitment to loving football and working hard, you know, like even if the process is a real thing, that it wouldn't be derailed. Let's for a moment suggest that they really do have a process. It wouldn't be derailed by Josh Allen coming out. They would say, he's not supposed to be playing.
Right.
They would just say, like, hey, we had to put him in there. He got some looks, you know, full speed. And now if he goes to the bench, whatever. We're not giving up on him.
We want him to take a step away from the game and kind of see it from the another angle.
Yeah, football's different. I'm fully expecting, by the way, quick aside to the Sabres, I would bet you Casey Mittelstadt gets a healthy scratch in the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And in hockey, you have 82 games. You can just do that. Your young player can just sit.
You put a guy in the press
and
box
say, like, go take a look at this thing.
Right.
In football, you can't do that, really, because there are so few games. So would it shock me if they just decided to say, yeah, we're gonna start Derek this week? I made an analogy yesterday to lessons in golf. If I get a golf lesson, I'm doing a lot of the swinging. But sometimes my instructor will say, hang on a second. Watch this. I want you to do this. The Derek Anderson in a game, it might be a little bit of a, hey, watch this. This is how you play against the Colts or whatever. I mean, if it were truly about developing a quarterback and that's primary, then you would throw all ideas of winning to the side, and you might even alternate them between series and, like, get live reps against another defense. Like, there are. I'm not suggesting this is what they should do, but just you could go so far past what the normal teach a guy how to play the position is. And right now, what is it? It's Derek Anderson comes in and Josh Allen says that he's already helping me. Okay, I guess he is. But they are so much closer to playing, I think, they are so much closer to playing Anderson than 50% of the fan base realizes. Maybe more. Because why is he here? He's here because he's a veteran that they know that has played
a dual purpose.
He's played for the offensive coordinator.
Right. He's I think he's here for a dual purpose. One, certainly to mentor the kid, but two, they'd have no qualms putting him in. None whatsoever. I think he's here because, you know, the Green Bay game, if you're Brandon Bean and you're Sean McDermott and you're flying home from the Green Bay game and you're thinking, Wow, this boy, oh boy, oh boy, did he have a rough day. Hey, maybe we put Josh Allen in there too early. Let's pull him out and the other option is Nathan Peterman. Again, I don't mean to be a jerk. I'm not trying to insult Nathan Peterman, but that's not a realistic option. If you felt Josh is in over his head at this point, and again, maybe it's, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's all on Josh. Maybe it is too much for him to digest at this point. Maybe he's just not ready to be, you know, in the bright lights. Or maybe you think that coupled with the line is still growing, the receivers can't get open, it's not the right time for that kid to be out there. If you're Bean and McDermott, your option at that point is Nathan Peterman, which is really not a realistic option. So you're faced with, we have to put Josh Allen out there or come up with something else. Ring, let's talk to Derek Anderson. I guess one thing I would say is, why didn't you call Derek Anderson in March or something like that?
Good question.
He was a free agent. He's sitting at home in Arizona, working out, waiting for the phone to ring.
I'm not going to go full X-Files music on this, but is it possible that there is a disagreement between the GM and the coach, where the GM says, we'll play the kid, we'll be fine, and the coach says, I'm going to need something else here.
Right.
Maybe McDermott wanted to add Anderson for the longest time, and being didn't agree, and these last two games, even though one of them's a win, shows them, you know what, maybe it is a good idea. The Joe Marino of Draft Network.
Yes, I read his piece.
Did you read the piece?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I thought it was very fair. It was fine.
Right. I mean, you've got your Bills fans that think that, listen, and there's some confirmation bias on Allen and some that show his shortcomings because they do want to be right, but I don't have any reason to think Joe Marino's that way. I mean, it's funny, when you write something about Allen as an independent observer, you have to say, I didn't like him coming into the draft. I'm going to put that out there. That said, and then here's a fair analysis. Right. And his opinion was, he's the biggest problem with the offense.
Right.
And I know that we don't like to think about that. We know that the line's not perfect. It's not great. We know the receivers are very, very at the bottom of the league. But if the Bills think that too, that Allen is the biggest problem with the offense right now, then he probably comes out.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, do the Bills agree with what other people are seeing? And now John Clayton says it. Clayton says, you should be getting Derek Anderson in there. And Chris Mortensen, who initially reported this, and, I mean, Mort's connected to somebody. Mort's the guy that said, before they drafted Allen, they love Josh Allen. Mort's the guy here, in this case, that says Anderson potentially for playing time, and then a half hour later cleared it up and said about injury. Like, it's you're getting your entry level, hey, this could happen, and it does not, I'll just say, it doesn't sit well with Bills fans, because it will be a bad look if it happens.
Well, the problem part, I'm trying to think about the timing of all of this. Like, all right, let's say they take Allen out. Here's another level of the discussion. Again, I'm sorry, I'm just throwing
is this
thoughts,
more of the disconnect?
Thoughts in my brain.
Because I've got a good text that says, what if it wasn't McDermott that wanted another quarterback? McDermott says, I'll just go to Peterman, and Bean says, we're signing somebody. I mean, who knows?
No, there's no way. There's no way Sean McDermott goes to Brandon Bean and says, don't worry about it, we'll just go back to Peterman. No way! Come on! I know the...
Why is he on the roster?
Right, believe me, when they signed Derek Anderson, my first thought was, okay, here's another thing. I'm really apologizing for being all over the place this morning. My first thought was when they signed Derek Anderson was, okay, so there are three... And Sean McDermott said he is very comfortable keeping three quarterbacks on the roster. In fact, he was so comfortable, he said it twice. I'm very comfortable. And I thought, okay, this is the same team that has perhaps the worst receiving core in the league and felt the need to cut a veteran wide receiver after the first game of the season because roster spots are so critical, we need to have a fourth defensive tackle in rotation because it's going to be hot against Los Angeles on Sunday. So let's cut a guy off the weakest spot at our roster to add a fourth defensive tackle. This is how valuable they every single spot is critical on this roster, but we're going to have three quarterbacks. Now, who knows? Maybe you might have no choice this week because if Josh Allen plays Sunday and he gets hurt, you can't throw Derek Anderson out there. He just got the playbook this week. So maybe they're only keeping three quarterbacks until Anderson knows the playbook and then they move on from Nathan Peterman. No, there was, and now I forgot the other thing I was going to say about the whole levels of discussion here. Maybe it'll come back to me, but yeah, I totally forgot. So, where do you want to go?
I want to read you a text and then take a call. Texter writes in, should it matter if Allen's the worst part of the offense at this point? I think we should just continue to let the kid play and develop, take our lumps while the offense sucks. That's a fair point, except the coach is trying to win games at all costs.
Right, that's how we look at it. That's how I look at it. Like, if the Twitter poll was, what's 2018 about, Josh Allen or wins and losses, you did it the other day, right? I'm voting for Josh Allen. For me, it's about, right. Oh, that's what I, but, the but, timing of this. Go ahead, I'll bring this
but
up.
I wanted to make last season about their future quarterback.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. Are they willing to make this season about their future quarterback?
Another part of this discussion is the whole debate about whether you can evaluate Josh Allen this year at all. Like, if you think, guys, look at the line, look at the receivers, look at this. You can still evaluate Josh Allen.
Sure.
You can look at the Joe Marino piece from the Draft Network, and you can go and look and see, oh, yeah, he had Benjamin open. He missed him. He had Benjamin open again. He missed him. He has Charles Clay crossing over the middle of the field wide open and doesn't throw him the ball.
I've got lots of stats of the day for you, but here's maybe the most troubling one, because you want to say whatever you want to say about Allen and the offensive line. Quarterback rating out of the pocket.
Yeah.
Passes when outside of the pocket. Josh Allen has the worst quarterback rating in the NFL, and by a lot. His quarterback rating
thanks for the by
his quarterback
a lot
rating outside the pocket is a 5.
That seems low.
It's very low. It's very bad. So that's when you would like to say, hey, can he do stuff? Quarterbacks outside the pocket. He's the worst in the NFL at a 5. Matthew Stafford is second worst at 39.
Okay, but here's the point about the evaluation of Josh Allen, okay? Yes, I think you can evaluate him this year. Guess what happens if he comes out of the lineup and Derek Anderson plays? Okay, we stop evaluating Josh Allen, obviously,
well,
if he's on the sideline.
That's where they say mental reps, trust the process. I mean, Matt Milano came out, right? Matt Milano didn't spend every down on the field because he's learning from the sidelines.
But then they realize Ramon Humber shouldn't be on the football field, and they put the better player back out.
Nathan Peterman, he had never played a down, and they thought based on practice he had learned enough, had gained enough, and he went in and started against the Chargers.
But if you take Allen out, okay, and put him on the sideline, then we close the 2018 book, assuming he doesn't go back in.
Oh,
and now what's 2019?
I wouldn't say he doesn't go back in.
Okay, but now what's 2019? 2019 is, well, we need that to really evaluate Josh Allen because now he'll have a better offense around him, and then 2019, then we'll figure out what Josh Allen can play or not in 2020. Now we're 3 years down the road. I don't know. I know I'm rambling. I apologize. We should get some calls.
It's all right.
It's just,
and then there's the McCoy stuff, where it sure sounds like they're willing to trade him.
But, and that's another factor in the discussion. You know what? If you're going to trade LeSean McCoy, you probably should play Derek Anderson so Josh Allen isn't out there with no running game. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Maybe you can make sense of whatever the heck I've been spewing for 20 minutes. Brian in Lackawanna, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, fellas. I understand both sides of the story as far as pulling Allen out, letting Anderson play. But what happens when Anderson comes in and doesn't do a better job than Allen did?
I suppose at some point they would just go back to Josh Allen if the season's toast.
Would take him and they would teach him.
Does that hurt Allen more by pulling him out and then, you know what I mean? Let him stay in?
Can you ruin a young quarterback? Maybe. If he develops bad habits, I don't believe for a second that pulling him out kills his confidence or ruins him. I don't believe that at all. You know, the idea that he would never believe in himself again. No way. I'm sorry. I don't. We talk about the adversity these guys face with the draft. And, you know, I mean, Josh Allen was killed, raked up and down for the way he played in college during the draft. And he took all those arrows and he's fine. Yeah. He's a starter now. And whatever. The idea that getting benched once, he was a zero-star recruit, right? He wasn't offered a scholarship. Right. He went to junior college and then got into the Mountain West. The guy's been overcoming this stuff the whole time. So it's not going to ruin him if, and by the way, this is still all if he is pulled and put on the bench for a couple of weeks to kind of, hey, I want you to see how Derek runs this offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, Derek Anderson's trying to teach him, he already said yesterday, about getting the ball out and trusting receivers. These are things that you tend to say about quarterbacks that are not processing things fast enough. I don't believe for a single second taking him out ruins his confidence or ruins him. It just kind of makes us a little bit crazy because then we stop evaluating him, right, and it feels like Kyle Orton over E.J. Manuel or Trent Edwards over J.P. Lossman or over and over and over again, somebody else going in, Kelly Holcomb over J.P. Lossman as well. You know, like, it's just it's frustrating for sure because you want to see growth. The other teams don't seem to be in this spot, right? Darnold's playing okay. They're not thinking about taking him out. And the other thing about this is what is supposed to be the case right now. Allen is not supposed to be ready.
And that's why I think if you're going to get upset at anybody, you get upset at the Bills. They started the evaluation clock. They put him in week two. And, you know, whether they should or shouldn't have, or if they shouldn't have, then it's their fault for not having a better option available other than Nathan Peterman. And if it didn't work out, Josh Allen. So that frustrates me. The one thing I would say about Allen, if you take him out, put him back in, the only thing I would say is this is not yo-yo this, okay? If you think the kid's not ready to take him out, fine. Then let him sit and let him learn. And don't say, and then he's back in, and if he has a couple bad games, then he's back out. Don't go back and forth with the kid. If you're going to play him, expect that you're going to live with mistakes. And if you are going to play him, let him play and learn. You know, it doesn't mean pass 50 times, run 15, but it does mean don't be afraid of your quarterback and be able to throw the football. I'm not sure how much Josh Allen develops while playing. If it's we're going to run 45 times, and when we throw, you're going to throw screen passes and throws in the flat and maybe some slants. We're going to keep it really basic, really simple. And I don't know how that makes Josh Allen a better quarterback. I'm not sitting here telling you I want mistakes from Josh Allen, but I want him to be able to try some throws and attempt some plays where, sure, it's possible there's going to be a turnover. There's going to be a mistake, which is part of the learning process here. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Josh Allen, Derek Anderson. We'll get into LeSean McCoy. We'll hear more of John Clayton's comments, which opened the Bulldog yesterday. And you can share your thoughts on this with us this morning as well. Bills cornerback Teron Johnson will join us at 7 o'clock this morning. He is having a heck of a rookie season. Oh, by the way, the defense has been really good. We'll talk to him. It's Thursday, so Marty Baron will be with us for his 7:30 segment. Sal's going to join us at 8. We'll have some fantasy football advice for you from Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, coming up at 8:30. Phone lines are open for you to join us at any point over the course of the morning at 803-0550 on WGR.
this morning. We were eating breakfast, and I'm like, Bud, I was like, I didn't even realize it till last night that I had read an article about him, his kind of story. It was like on ESPN or something a long time, or maybe before the draft or something. And I was like, it's you. Like, I didn't, you know. And so I kind of had a little bit of background on it, and you know, just getting to know him. And great kid. Great kid. Obviously, we've had 3 days together. But, you know, we got a good room, and just the back and forth in there has been good.
3 days together, right?
Yeah.
So he's been here in town for
Monday. You know, he came in.
I mean, today's only
Thursday.
Yeah, he
was in the building Monday, right?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah,
okay.
He just hadn't signed yet.
Yeah, Derek Anderson on Josh Allen, who is now his mentee. Is that a mentee? Right?
Yeah. Isn't it? Is that a term? Yeah.
A person who is advised,
being mentored.
It seems like it should be a fake word, but
it is. Mentee.
He's a mentee
for the mentor.
Anderson, the mentor. Allen, the mentee.
Yeah. The headlines.
Peterman, the. Headlines.
Not sure. Does it have to end in EE?
Well, it does drive home McDermott's
belief. Peterman is the number two quarterback still.
Right. McDermott's belief in Peterman.
Yeah.
He will not get rid of him.
It has to be until Derek Anderson feels comfortable with the playbook, right? They can't keep. Then why would you keep three quarterbacks off?
Can you imagine being Dean Marlowe, who was the guy that was cut?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, me? Me?
Yeah, right.
Have you seen?
And I just can't. And he started the other day. Like, he just came off the practice squad and started and actually seemed to do okay against Tennessee. So Derek Anderson went through his first practice with the Bills yesterday. Sean McDermott declined to get into any specifics on the LeSean McCoy trade rumors. A lot of stuff going on out there since Philadelphia's desperate for running backs. The injury report. Limited practice yesterday for Micah Hyde, Raphael Bush, and Trey White. White has an ankle, but from what Zal was saying, it doesn't appear to be anything serious. Deshaun Watson was limited in the Texans practice, but says he is playing Sunday against the Bills. Football tonight, NFC East battle. 2-3 Eagles, thin at running back, taking on the 1-4 New York Giants. The Sabres are in action tonight. Close out the four-game homestand that opened the season. They'll take on Colorado. It's a 7 o'clock faceoff, and we'll have the game on WGR. Zach Bogosian and Vladimir Sobotka both returned to practice yesterday. Washington beat Vegas, 2 goals for Alexander Ovechkin. Philly beat Ottawa, a 5-point night for Jacob Voracek. And Arizona, who will play the Sabres on Saturday. Congratulations to the Coyotes. They finally scored some goals. They were shut out in their first two games. They beat Anaheim last night 3-2. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 7 o'clock. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Wow. Really? MJ in Charlotte? Is this... No, it's probably not the same guy. MJ, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
I got a couple things to. I just want to say, and then I will hang up. I want to first tell Jeremy and Sal, I think they did a great job talking through that fire drill yesterday morning.
Yeah. Howard, you missed that. We had a good 40-minute fire drill in here.
Oh, I'm sorry I wasn't here for this. I'll have to go to On Demand.
That would have drove me crazy, but y'all did a heck of a job talking through it. I just want to mention that. A few things on the Bills, and I will hang up. The first thing is listening to McDermott's press conferences, maybe any coach's press conferences, but more or less his, it just drives me crazy. It's just, to me, sometimes almost pointless. I mean, the lies, and I mean, I get they're not going to give up a lot of information, but it's just sometimes this drives me crazy listening to his answers to different things. But that's my point as far as that. My main point I wanted to call about is Kelvin Benjamin. I think Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes are two of the bigger receivers in the NFL. And man, they play like, both play like they're 5'9 with alligator arms. I mean, just to look at some of the balls that they don't go after or go meet or, I mean, just seem like they should, with their size and what you think with their athletic ability, should be able to go get balls and things like that. They just don't do. And Kelvin Benjamin, I think, more or less aggravates me because it's a lack of effort to me, and it looks like he just don't care out there most of the time. Andre Holmes may just be his athletic ability, but he still doesn't seem to use his body as well as I think he should. And with that, I'll say this and let you guys go, but I don't understand why guys like Rishard Matthews are not looked at. I mean, you can't tell me him or even anybody out there can't help us based on what we have now. I just don't understand why they don't take a shot with someone else, or even if your process is all about culture and playing hard and all that, why is Kelvin Benjamin not benched? I mean, I understand we don't have another quote-unquote number one, but I mean, the integrity of the process to me is you still would bench him and teach him a lesson while all these other guys on the team and fans are watching him seem like he's just half-stepping it out there when he's playing. But it just drives me crazy watching that, and I just don't understand why they won't make a move at wide receiver. But I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
One thing, MJ, you might have a your What I'm trying to say is you'll get your judgment on Kelvin Benjamin when he goes to the market and see what kind of money he gets. If the quitting or if the half speed or if the lack of effort is as bad as we think it is, then he'll get a significantly lower contract than expected. You know, Jordan Matthews, no one thought he quit. No one thought Jordan Matthews was giving half effort. He was hurt and his production died here and he got nothing. With the Patriots. He got no attention at all. Benjamin's always going to have, you know, the size. So maybe some team will look at that and think that's a good idea. Maybe they feel like they can re-energize him. He has one of the worst catch rates in the NFL right now of guys that are actually getting targets. Benjamin, for, you know, for better or for worse for this offense, there was a belief that he was at least going to get number one targets. And he's going to get his numbers because, you know, you're an offense. It's going to rely on one guy. It's a big guy. You can throw it to Benjamin. He has not caught jump balls. To me, that's bigger than not running hard. Mm-hmm. You are, I mean, I know you should run hard on every play and follow every play. And Benjamin's had his effort questioned since game one. But you are, this is your job specifically. It's like having a specialist that doesn't do the specialty. What's the point? You're supposed to win contested catches because you don't really get open. And Allen has given him opportunities to get a few of those. And what is he, like 0-for-5 on jump balls?
I think this pass game was a little bit different. I think this pass game, honestly, Allen missed him. Benjamin was there for a couple, few catches, and Allen was off target on some of his throws. Earlier games this season, sure, the drop touchdown pass, there's some other drops he's had. I wouldn't put Andre Holmes in the same discussion. I just don't think Andre Holmes is much of a receiver. But Kelvin Benjamin is supposed to be the number one guy here. Andre Holmes probably shouldn't have been. He shouldn't be more than the number four wide receiver here if you would have kept Curley. But Benjamin's a different discussion. I wonder if Benjamin is. And I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm looking at his numbers. 26 targets, 8 catches. I mean, that's just pathetic. 103 yards. I wonder if he's worried about the contract year. Like, that's in his head. Like, he's on the worst passing offense in the league. And he is dealing with a rookie quarterback who sometimes Benjamin doesn't help him out by coming back to the quarterback after a route is covered and things are kind of breaking down and Allen is scrambling. You've got to work your way back to get open to help the quarterback out. He doesn't do that regularly, as opposed to, say, Andre Holmes. But there have been times where, you know, Benjamin's been there for a throw and it's off target. You know, it's a one hopper. It's too far off to the side. It sails over his head. I wonder if Benjamin's getting to the point where he's getting frustrated and dealing with the rookie quarterback and the growing pains. He's looking at his stats. He's thinking about the market. You know, I don't know if every Sunday does he go home at night and think my value dropped X amount of dollars again today. But sure, he doesn't. He looks like a guy whose mind is elsewhere so far this season for probably a myriad of reasons. The McDermott thing, by the way, that's standard operating procedure. Most coaches are not going to tell you, you know, they're not going to answer questions about whether the Eagles called the Bills about LeSean McCoy and they're going to be secretive about injuries and they're really just not. McDermott, I think, goes to the extreme. Like, he's very careful about, you know, not throwing guys under the bus. He's not going to be critical of anybody in particular. It's always about the team. If someone asks a question about, hey, why is so-and-so struggling? Well, we've all got to get better. He's very careful about not singling anybody out. For the most part, coaches, GMs, I know you said lie. Yeah, they do lie, but I've come to understand it comes with the territory because there's just information they don't want out there publicly. 803-0550 to join us. Greg in Toronto is next up here on WGR. Go ahead, Greg.
Gentlemen, Jeremy, if you're going to talk about a 5 passer rating, you have to talk about the missed catchable ball rating as well. It's got to be at the top of the league for this guy. Like, he's got to be number one, you know. He's missed, not him, but his receivers have missed more catchable balls. Sorry, just getting breakfast ready.
It's all right. Have a little.
While you're making this point, I'm going to look up and see who has the most passes dropped.
Yeah. Right. It's got to be. He's got to be number one.
They're in the middle of the pack.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Let me make sure this, I'm sorry to say this, let me make sure this is this year. I'm looking at a ranking on the Washington Post, that is the Bills, at 15th in passes drop. Number one is Green Bay. Number two is Minnesota. You have to, but then again, it's about percentage because the Bills don't throw it that much. So a team like Green Bay or Minnesota and Philadelphia, they would have more drops because they have more passes. So I'll do my best to find a catch or a drop percentage for the Bills.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah,
honestly, you have a point to make? Other than
that was it.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't think drops has been... I mean, there have been some drops. Benjamin comes to mind, right. I don't think drops has been the biggest problem for the receiving corps. I think it's more of an issue of, A, they're not getting open, or B, if they are open, the quarterback is off target or doesn't see him. He's not... picking up on guys that are there to throw to. Again, go to the Joe Marino piece and Charles Clay. Zay Jones ran a route where he was open initially and didn't throw the ball to him.
At the risk of being a all-22 loser who's, you know, touts all-22, when you watch on television and a pass goes and hits a receiver in the hands and it hits the turf, that's a big drop and you blame the receiver. But if you're watching all-22, you might see that there was a better pass to be made and the quarterback should have thrown it somewhere else anyway. And we don't put that on the quarterback as much. I mean, it comes down to this for me. And I kind of felt this way about the Tyrod Peterman thing. When they put in Nathan Peterman, I was not mad about the move when it happened. And the reason is, I didn't know anything about Peterman. I put the tiniest bit of faith in the coaches, which was they must see so many left passes on the field and believe that this person can execute them because this person is not. If the Bills feel that way about Allen, and they recognize there are drops, they would recognize that the receivers aren't great. Benjamin's not a separation receiver. Zay Jones might quietly be having a good season of separation. It's also on the offensive coordinator to scheme guys open, which has happened a little bit. If they think Allen isn't getting it done, that doesn't mean they think he'll never get it done. They just might say, I mean, Brian Daboll might say, yo, let's toss Derek in there. Josh is supremely talented. Have him watch how to run this offense. I just think it's very, very possible. And I continue to get yelled at by people that don't want to take Allen out. I don't either.
I think your stats are right because I found NBC Sports drop passes by individuals, not team totals.
Okay.
Green Bay's got three guys in the top 15. Minnesota's got two guys in the top 10.
Is this percentage?
This is actual number of dropped passes.
Well, they throw it more. How many passes?
Like Michael Crabtree has six drops. That's the highest total in this list.
Right.
Right, but Thielen's got four, but how many targets does he have so far?
Oh, my God. Adam Thielen has more targets than everybody on the Bills combined.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That's my guess.
He averages, what, 15 targets a game?
Oh, he's the best.
So he's got four drops. But again, he's got a ton of targets.
How many attempts does Josh Allen have on the season? Can you find that for me? I'm looking up Aaron Rodgers right now, how many attempts he has on this. Because Green Bay leads the league in drops. So this is just to lay out the point that, you know, when you pass it more, you drop it more.
Okay, Josh Allen's stats so far this season. All right, he is... hang on.
Aaron Rodgers has...
122 attempts.
Aaron Rodgers has 208. 80 more attempts, 5 more drops.
Yeah.
It comes down to a percentage.
It's funny, in the NBC stat, the first guy listed for the Bills is actually Marcus Murphy with 2 drops. Benjamin's not on there. No Zay Jones, no, but Marcus Murphy is the only Bills player listed in a list of, I don't know, maybe there's 30 guys or so on this list with 2 drops this season. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550 to share an opinion on our discussion, Derek Anderson, and whether or not he's going to play at some point this season.
Let's hear from McDermott when we get back and see what you decipher about his answer on LeSean McCoy and whether or not they're listening or interested because he was trying to play it cool.
Speaking of football, if you need some help with your tailgate parties, we can help you out. Just visit WGR550.com. You've got until the 14th of this month. Submit an entry telling us why you need to freshen up your tailgate menu. The winner of our contest will receive a $300 gift certificate valid for Rachel's Mediterranean Catering. Again, submit your entry at WGR550.com.
Just the get out in front of this LeSean thing a little bit here as best I can. I wasn't obviously speaking yesterday, so, you know, LeSean's one of our better players. Thought he had a good game the other day, and really we're just looking forward to playing the Houston Texans. You know, we get calls all the time. Incoming calls happen all the time. Brandon and I talk a lot, and I won't go into any more detail than that. But again, this is a big week for us, another opportunity to get better, another opportunity for us to develop as a football team against a very good opponent, in particular down there, and a tough place to play.
That is Exhibit A on the LeSean McCoy trade rumors. Exhibit B would be McCoy saying, I don't worry about it, that's for my agent to worry about.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what a player would say, right?
Right, but the agent works for the player.
LeSean McCoy has got to be thinking, yes, trade me to Philadelphia.
Think so?
Yes.
And McDermott
thinks...
Is this
team going anywhere this season? Eagles might still win. That entire division's under 500. If they win tonight, I think they're in first place. Right? He's got a shot at being on a winning football team with Carson Wentz and being in the playoffs. Okay. Or being here.
And when asked about it, when pressed, McDermott said, not going into it, not going into it. Which, you know, a coach will do. If he doesn't want to say no. You know, a lot of times we say these coaches, they don't say anything, they don't commit to anything, and I get that. If he wants, he can commit to anything he wants to. Nothing is prohibiting him from walking up and saying, absolutely not, LeSean McCoy's on this team.
I think for me, the interesting thing is one of, so that was the opening statement, and then, of course, he got some questions about it. He really didn't say much. But he had said something about how LeSean McCoy is a valuable member of the team, and I'll leave it at that. So if they trade LeSean McCoy, then the question is, why would you trade a valuable member of your football team? How does that make you better? If you trade, I mean, that's the one thing that I saw. I mean, he's right. He is a valuable member of the team, but there's a business, and you make trades, and you keep, you know, is McCoy here next year? What is his value? Would you be moving on from him in the offseason? If you did, what could you get from then as opposed to now? Could you get more now because the Eagles are desperate for a running back? There's all sorts of things you take into account. But I guess if they do it, I would say, if you felt he was that valuable to your football team, and I think he's in the leadership council, why would you trade him for whatever the heck draft pick or return you get for LeSean McCoy? So you get, I know there's a lot of people speculating on Twitter, what could it be? I think John Clayton was on a radio station in Philadelphia, and he was talking about a fifth, maybe conditional to a fourth. I don't know what kind of value they'll get for LeSean McCoy from Philadelphia. If the Eagles are willing to offer up like a third-round pick, I'd be really interested in taking that. I probably would make that trade if I were the Bills.
I have a stat of the day on running the football. You want that?
Sure.
All right. Stat of the day. This is, file this under strategy trumps culture. Okay. Just if you could. So here's the stat of the day. Todd Gurley and the Rams, right? They have the best offense in football, maybe the second best offense in football. Gurley is a fantasy football monster.
Right.
He is a very good running back. He runs well. He catches out of the backfield. He does it all. He's great. And the Rams offense is just almost unstoppable.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you a question.
I think they scored 30-plus points every game. Maybe.
What percentage of his runs are there eight or more men in the box?
Oh, that's a good...
What percentage of his rushing attempts are there eight-plus men in the box?
I'm going to say it can't be a high percentage because of Jared Goff in the passing game. So I'm going to say 15%.
10.
Okay.
10%. Second fewest among running backs with 30-plus carries. Now, he doesn't get a great yards per carry, but they get into the end zone. And what the way that they try to run the ball is with personnel. The offensive personnel, this is from Dan Pizzuta at NFL Stats and GIFs, and from Next Gen Stats as well, the idea that they go 11 personnel. The secondary stat of the day is 11 personnel. What that means is one running back, one tight end, three receivers.
Yeah.
They have run, out of 315 plays this year, the Rams have had three receivers on the field 299 times.
It's like Kelly and the old K-gun. It's like you could run the ball with Thurman because you're spreading everybody out by covering. They put a nickel out, and you've got the field spread. You run the ball.
That's what they do. And they don't even run it that well.
Yeah.
With really? Gurley, at least. Huh. No, Gurley this year is at 4.1 yards per carry.
So they don't have all the stats. You said 30 or more carries. That would not include LeSean McCoy. I'd be curious how many times like LeSean McCoy has seen eight men in the box.
Stacked boxes?
Yeah.
I'll have that for you after the break.
You and the internet are just a marriage made in heaven.
I'm not running the next-gen stats NFL site, but I will have that after the break. The percentage of LeSean McCoy's runs with eight-plus men in the box.
803-0550 to join us now that Derek Anderson is a Bill and went through his first practice. If Josh Allen struggles, what do you do, Bills fans? Should they play Derek Anderson at some point? It basically gets down to his 2018 about wins, or just letting Josh Allen play through any struggles and learn on the job. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Whatever else is on your mind, you can call with a question, share an opinion, whatever you'd like to do. Also, when we get back, in addition to the stats, Taron Johnson will join us. Bills cornerback is on the way on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.